face to face.
With them, face to face. Praise the Lord.
Does anyone have anything this morning? Song, testimony, something to do for the Lord? Come on, dear.
Yes, I'm dreaming, don't wait.
We can somebody play football. I'll try what keys it is, then. I've watched you enough for you again. What can you do if I'm dreaming, don't wait? It says he'll see.
Been so long since I've seen, I don't know.
He's waiting to be, I'll be all right.
We'll try it, though.
I mean, I'm gonna play. See them, play too. Yeah. No. Say.
That's a little high.
Back up one.
Yeah. Some people say, that sounds about right. Some people say, there is no way salvation is real. There's nothing in this old time religion really can feel. How could it be I could believe in a God I've not seen? There's no such thing as life after death. Heaven's a dream. If I'm dreaming, don't wake me. Just let me dream on. For this is the best way of living I've ever known. Sure having a good time. So leave me alone. Sweet peace I have found, don't wake me now, just let me dream on. I cannot explain this wonderful change that came over me. Once I was bound, a chain of sin, now I'm set free. You might say that God's dead, I'm out of my head, but one thing I'm sure, if this is a sign that I'm losing my mind, I hope I'll never be
pure.
If I'm dreaming, don't wake me.
Hallelujah.
Just let me dream on. For this is the best way of living I've ever known. Sure having a good time.
Hallelujah.
So leave me alone. Sweet peace I have found, so don't wake me now, just let me dream on. No, it's not a dream, this feeling I feel, salvation is real.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
That's been a while.
Good job, buddy.
Come on.
Praise the Lord. Joseph come down through yonder. They looked at him and said, look, come, you're an old dreamer. They done a lot to him. They threw him down the pit, sold him out. But you know what happened? He said, just let me dream on. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
If I stayed on, good things that come to me.
Praise the Lord.
Anything this morning? No, I'm going to turn to Paul with
you. Amen. We thank the Lord this morning. Happy 4th of July. A lot of things we could say. Turn to the Lord. A lot of things. I mean, Liberty Bell and Statue of Liberty and love and the gift and romance and goddesses and a lot of things we could say. Thank you, brother. There's one thing about it. Right here says it all, don't it? Right here is the liberty that we've got. Paul told the church to stand fast in the liberty wherein Christ has made us free. Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. And the Liberty Bell symbolizes the freedom. Statue of Liberty represents a gift. We're not going to get into a lot of that, but it's like everything else, it ain't long till it goes to get away from God, the meaning of it. But I'm glad this. this right here has always been the same. Doesn't matter what generation picks it up, it's always the same.
I mean, if I don't like it, I'm gonna change it. But that don't change it. I mean, if I don't agree with it, I'm gonna change it. But that don't change it. Hey, let me tell you about a man one time that went about thinking that he was doing right, and some of you will get this, some of you might not, thought he was doing right. He'd even go down as far as the people that was living for Jesus. He'd go get them and he'd bind them and put them in jail, and thought he was doing right, and go home and sleep like a baby. But when the Lord got a hold of him, he's up all night crying over the church. You let that soak in a little bit. You let that soak in a little bit. A man that thought he was doing right, persecuting the church, go home sleep like a baby. But when the Lord got a hold of him, he cried and wept all night for the church. That's good, ain't it? It ain't good, but it's sure to God something to think about, ain't it? Praise the Lord. Turn your Bibles over to somewhere. Turn your Bibles over to John chapter number 14. And I want to be talking to you this morning about a thought. You know, this is the 4th of July and we celebrate the freedom that we have. And you know, the freedom as we know it today, it's vanishing away, and it's a lot of it, Donnie, has vanished away quickly, and seemed like it just don't seem right. I mean, who would have ever thought that we'd ever be in a time that we're going to allow that baby to grow up and let it write on the birth certificate of what it is? I mean. And a lot of things that's going on, not only that, not only a sodomite, not only this or that, but the way of life that America's turned to. And you as a child of God trying to do right, trying to live right, trying to love God, love the end, just do right. Don't you just sometimes feel like you're alone? Don't you just feel like there's an absence there? Something just don't seem right. Well, I guess, if you think about it as a child of God, that is sad and difficult of that. But I guess that's a sign that you know that things just ain't right. I mean, I know a lost man and a woman. Surely to God, they can look around and see how out of whack things are. Will a mother forsake her child? Yay. But he said, I'll never forsake you, but I'll go all the way with you. I want to talk to you this morning a little bit about what Thomas said here in St. John chapter number 14. And you look in the 14th chapter and there's a lot that we could say and a lot that we're not going to say, but you get a sense and a feeling that maybe that these disciples were they were troubled. Maybe they was a little bit disturbed about what was what they understood and what they didn't understand, and about the purpose and the things of Christ. But let's look here this morning, and as we think about Thomas here in the 14th chapter. I'll read one verse of Scripture, and you can be seated and you pray for me. God help me to get through this. But in St. John chapter number 14, verse number 5, Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whether thou goest, and how can we know the way? You may be seated to this morning in the house of God. You think about this. Here Jesus is talking to his disciples about letting not their heart be troubled. He said, now if you believe in God, believe also in me. He said, if it wasn't so, I'd have told you. He said, I'm going to I to prepare a place for you. And if I go prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And Thomas said, well, what do you mean there? I don't know what you're talking about. He said, I don't know. He said, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And we know here, this is the familiar scripture that Jesus said. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man come to the Father but by me. And don't let your heart be troubled. Don't let it be afraid. And Thomas is just saying, Lord, here we don't know where you're going. And he said, and how can we know the way? Now you think about this morning as we look into this, and we kind of get a sense of loneliness and a sense that maybe, you know, what are we going to do? I mean, what's going to happen here? But let's look here this morning just for a minute. Turn over with me in chapter 2 Corinthians chapter number 4 for a few minutes here. And I want to look at the scripture, bearing in mind of what Thomas said when he said, Lord, I mean, we don't know where you're going. We don't know the way. And how is the way? And Jesus tells them that. And yet they go on down there. And Philip says, well, Lord, show us the Father, and that'll satisfy us. And Jesus said, what do you mean, Philip? He said, if you've seen the Father, you've seen me. You've seen the Father. He said, for we're one. We've got the same motive. We've got the same mindset. Have my Father loved you enough to send me to die so you wouldn't have to, that you could live with me forever and ever and ever. But yet back to Thomas. Thomas said, Lord, we don't know where you're going. We don't even know the way. And there is a sense of loneliness in this celebration of the 4th of July, as we celebrate the liberty and the freedom and the things like that. Some of you may not know this, but yonder in Philadelphia, the Liberty Bell, the first time it was rang, it cracked. The first time it was used. And there's a lot I could say, but we got to get back to what I feel like the Lord's trying to say. He said, hey, Thomas, don't be so tore up. Don't be so out of whack. I know you feel like you don't know the way. I know you feel like you're troubled on every side. But look right here. He said, you're looking at things just as it is right now. He said, I want you to look out yonder. Hey, guys, my hopes in Jamal, the hope that I've got in Jesus, brother, it ain't only in this world, but it's in the world to come. When we get through this. But here Paul told the church of Corinthians, 2nd chapter, or the 4th chapter of 2nd Corinthians, look at verse number 18. He said, while we look not at the things which are seen, but on the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen are eternal. Hey, Jesus, we don't know where you're going. We don't know the way. And Jesus said, hey, you're just looking at me right now physically. You're looking at me physically. And brother, I'm going to show you here. What Paul was telling the church, the same thing. He said, you're just seeing things temporarily the way they are. But it ain't always going to be like that. God's going to turn it around one day. And I know it's sad. I know it's lonely. And I know maybe you feel like you're alone sometimes. But I'll assure you this morning, guys, Jesus said this right here, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Why is that? Because he said that God is going to send another comforter to you. He's going to send it in my name, the comforter, the Holy Ghost. When you get a place in your life, when you feel like you're alone, when you feel like you don't know the way, when you feel like you don't know what to do, just sit down and remember. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. And thank God we'll be with him in eternity one day if we'll just keep looking unto him. Stay with me this morning. I'm going to try to show you something. Turn back to John chapter number 14. John chapter number 14. I want to start reading here. In verse number 25. John chapter number 14. If I start reading verse number 25. He said, "These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you." Now you kind of get a sense like that he's not going to be here forever in that sense, in that way that John and those men, those disciples and those that he touched and raised from the dead and walked on the water and all that. You kind of get it in a sense right here that he said, "Hey, I spoke all these things to you while I was present with you." But he said right here, but verse 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whether whatsoever I've said unto you. So listen, you know, here in the, you know, just like Rex got up a while ago, Tim was singing. Well, I felt the Lord. I, like David, I felt the hair on my body stand up as the Spirit of God went by. But it's like this right here, guys. It ain't always like that. It ain't always like that. We was talking about Buford in Sunday school, about the temple, of the being a clean temple and letting God live and abide inside the heart of the children of God. I remember when we was absent from you and was preaching at the kitchen table at the house, I felt the same thing, the anointing of God. There behind the table, I dialed Geneva on the phone and them on the website and all that. Hey, brother, I'm telling you, God's presence is everywhere if you'll just look at it and understand that he's the Comforter. I mean, we do feel absence and out of whack and everything upside down. But I'm telling you this morning, guys, put not your faith in man, but put your faith, your trust in God. Amen. You know, absence. They say this, I don't know who they is, but they say a dog don't really know the difference between one day and one week. And when we leave the house and leave that German Shepherd in the house and we come back 8 or 10 hours later, I leave of a morning, come in, that dog is just all excited and tore up and just so happy to see me. I don't know if there's any difference in a month if you go and stay a month and then come back, but I know there's some excitement there because of this being present. There's had the fireworks last night, had the tons and tons of fireworks around us, and our dog is scared of fireworks. And I've about come to the conclusion, Donnie, all the training in police academy and all that, the reason maybe she fell was is she's scared of a gun. But no doubt we went in last night. At one point, and she was behind the commode. We thought she'd had a heart attack and died. But when she got up and seen us, they was comfort there. Hey, man, poor the woman. It's a few days and full of trouble. And sometimes you feel like the absence of God in your life, and you don't know where he's at. And at times you feel like that. You ever feel like you're alone? Have you ever been in a crowded room, feel like you're by yourself? That's the way sometimes we explain this. Brother Jesus is saying, right here, Thomas, I'm going to go away. I'm going to Calvary. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And brother, he said, and I want you to remember these things that I spoke to you while I was yet with you. He done his work. Paul told the church during the absence of himself in places. He said, you're looking on things temporal. He said, what I'm talking about is eternal. I'm glad, boys, that what I've got, it won't fade away like the Statue of Liberty. It won't change colors. They won't be a crack in the veil. What I'm standing for this morning, and praise God, his absence. He spoke a lot while he was here. And there'll be a time you feel like you don't know the way and you don't know which way to go. But I'll guarantee you one thing, beloved. If you'll stay close to Jesus, he'll show you what to do. I heard this yesterday. I don't know if the Lord needs me. I don't know if the Lord can use me. But I'm going to hang around the cross long enough just to see if he will. He don't need me, but I need him. There's times in your life you don't know what to do, where to go, which way to turn. Just hang around close enough to the cross. He'll show you. He'll help you. Thomas, I know, hey, listen, guys, come here, Thomas, look at my hands, look at my feet, look at my side. Have they all gathered together one time, Thomas, what hour? And Jesus come through the wall and said, come here, Thomas. He said, you've asked me back here. We don't know the way. I've shown you the way. Look at my hands. And we bear in our body the marks of the cross. Paul said, beloved, but I'm going to tell you, in your loneliness and in your time, when you feel like you don't know what to do, just hang around close enough that you can hear him, and he'll show you and bring peace to you. Let not your heart be troubled. Don't let it be afraid. Listen, guys, this country was founded upon the freedom to worship. Now we're just spitting in God's face. That's about what you can make of it. The mockery and the absence of the power of God in the churches and the different places as it once was, and we get to time we feel like we're alone and we feel like we're out of place. But I'll guarantee you one thing, beloved: if you just stay with God, stay at that red blood, and that red writing in the Word of God, I'll guarantee He'll show Himself to you. Philip said, "Show us the Father, and He'll satisfy." He said, Phil, have I not been with you long enough? You've not seen the Father. He said, the words that I say, they're not me. They're what the Father sent. It's not me that preacheth, but it's the Word of God that we're trying to expound upon and enlighten our eyes and help the church to grow and to see the things of God. I can't help that though. Had a lot of them sold God down the river and took the badness and things off of the church and say that across the country. And I tell you why a lot of them's done it. They don't meet the qualifications in this book. Now you can get mad, like it, lump it, do whatever you want to. That's the truth. I'm going to tell you something this morning while I'm on it. He that soweth discord among the brethren, brother, God hates that. Proverbs chapter number 6, you better read it. There'll be a day, God, when God comes down with His vengeance. And when God does it, there'll be no fixing to it. Well, I don't do that. You might as well listen to yourself then. Let's go on. Let's 25 said, these things have I spoken unto you, but yet being present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, which the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I you unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away. Now here, listen, here they're getting that loneliness feel maybe. That sense that he's not going to be here with us much longer. I kind of got this when I read this. He said, ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you love me, you'd rejoice because I said I go to my Father, for my Father is greater than I. This is a lot to swallow. Guys, this is a lot to swallow when Jesus was getting ready to leave this world. Telling his disciples, he said, I go to my Father. But don't worry, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. You actually think they understood all of that? I don't believe they did. I don't believe they understood Pentecost and thousands of people of all different people going to be there in the world, and they was going to hear them preach in their own language and their own tongue. I don't believe they got all that, Bubba, until it really happened. And then Peter said, now listen, I was reading this yesterday. They looked at Peter and them and knew that they were unlearned and ignorant men. They knew that. They realized that. But they also realized this, that they'd been with Jesus. And that old unlearned, ignorant man at Pentecost looked at that crowd and said, hey, what just happened is what Joel talked about. In the last day, I'll pour out my spirit, the Comforter, the Holy Ghost. You know, as it come through a while ago, Rex got up and I felt the Lord while Tim was. Somebody said, well, I ain't never felt the Lord. Well, I'm sorry. He'll quicken your body. His spirit, or he'll do something to your body, your flesh. You'll know when he's in the house. Said all that to say this. We just experienced that just for a short time. But listen, when it's there, don't you just want to hold on to it and milk it for all it is? And then when it goes away, you just, wow. As I have over the years preached under the anointing, and then when it leaves, and I get almost home and I kind of come to myself, I go, wow. It does something to you, don't it? But listen to this, guys. One of these days, it's going to be like that forever. The freedom that we have when you got up breakfast a while ago, guarantee you, if you was hurt, you didn't even know it. Guarantee you, all that, all this stuff, just because it goes away for just a little while. You wait till we get over yonder. It'll be like that forever and ever and ever. I tell them at the nursing home. I don't know if it'll be like that or not, but I try to encourage them it will. I say, Bill, I say, there'll be office junkyard somewhere between here and heaven. Wheelchairs, walkers, sugar diabetes, and IVs, and all that stuff, and out there somewhere, but it'll be all be made brand new in heaven. The temporal things that we look at, Buck, I mean, this is just temporal. But what I'm talking about this morning, guys, it's eternal. It's forever and ever and ever and ever. Jesus said, hey, Thomas, I know you don't know the way. I know you're going to be troubled. I know you're going to wonder when I leave. I know you just stand out there and watch me go up out of sight. But I'm going to send an angel on a rock and say, what are you men standing here for? It's the same man you see going, the same Jesus you see going away. It's coming again like man. Or get yonder and get busy, wait on the things of God. I said, wait. And when they waited, brother, what happened? They was renewed and God blessed them and helped them. And brother, they began to see more clearly. Sometimes you feel his absence and you feel lonely. You feel dry. You feel you don't know what to do. You feel like everybody's against you. Jesus said, don't be afraid. Don't let your heart be troubled. Let me go on here, God. I'll never get this out. Verse 28 again. He said, you have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again to you. If you loved me, you'd rejoice because I said, I go to the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now have I told you before it come to pass, that when it comes to pass, you might believe. Hereafter, now right, this verse got me right here. This right here really got me to thinking about his absence. He said, Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. And I thought of the loneliness and the how that the Americans treated God and people's treated God and it feels like that you ain't heard from God in forever and ever and ever. Honey, it ain't God. It's just us. It's a world. He told us right here. He said, I'm not going to talk much with you no more because the prince of this world ain't got nothing in me. They go to the big ball drops. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with all this stuff, but I'm going to tell you something, guys. The Statue of Liberty could be, if not already, like the great goddess of Diana in her day. I'm not going to say much about that, but you look at it, you study it. What would people do to make sure she didn't? And the question is this right here now. Is it a male or female?
I wonder if the Apostle Paul would go out there on that little island and begin to preach against the gods that we built with our hands and tell them about the real and the true and the living God. I'm not disgrading or that down in anything, but I'm going to tell you one. They ain't but one statue. They ain't but one God. They ain't but one mediator. They ain't but one man that come and died and died in your place. And he's the one we need to lift up. With the absence of God, the absence of God, out of schools, out of homes, out of everywhere, the absence of God. I mean, the woman, the Shumanite woman, the Song of Solomon, she goes looking about, where's he at? Where's he at? I can't find him. And I'll tell you one thing, beloved, there's a lot of people can't find him. If I go a few days without feeling the presence of God, I get worried. That's why I grab my little black-eyed woman by the hand every day and pray. He don't come by every day, but he comes by sometimes. And the times that he don't come by is I know that I got to keep praying, because pray God, he'll show up one day in the most unexpected and unusual way a lot of times. What a book. He said, I ain't going to say much more about it. We'll kill the prince of this world. Verse number 31 said, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandments, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. Get up, let's go. 2 Corinthians chapter number 2 again. I don't know how all this is coming together, just what I got. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4 again. You know at times in your life, in the most unexpected way, God will use you. Could be somebody out there that's, I mean, I know that you feel the absence of Judy. I know you feel the absence of people. I know it's not the same as it used to be to him when you have, let me dream on. It's, you feel the absence of Ray, and somebody's talking at the nursing home up there. She's a crying, telling about it. I thought, praise God, he's still preaching. But listen, guys, I know there's an absence in this world, but I'm telling you, we ought to look on the things as they did there in John chapter number 14, Philip and Thomas. I mean, I know we look now like that sometimes, but we've got to look on the things that's eternal. Would you bring them back for the suffering they was going through? Did you change things to make it better for you and worse for them? There is an absence that we feel like Thomas, maybe. Well, we don't know what to do. We don't know where to go. We don't even know where you're going. We don't know the way there. Jesus said, follow me and I'll show you the way. I preached Wednesday night. Luke 22, started out in James about the peace and patience. Talked about that man that was preparing the Passover. Luke 22 said that these were the days of unleavened bread. That represents when the children of Israel left Egypt in such a hurry that they had the dough, but they didn't have time to let it rise. They still celebrate it. Jesus, they said, Lord, a lot of this, I don't really know where you're going, what's taking place. He said, I tell you what to do, man. He said, you go down there in the street. He said, there'll be a man down there with a pitcher of water. You follow him. He's going to take you over in a large upper room that's furnished. Now, here's what I preached on. You'll get over yonder in that large upper room. God will show you about patience. God will show you about absence.
God will show you about when you feel like you're alone. Can you imagine tonight, guys, one of the greatest men, the Apostle Paul, when Luke went to him one time, and he asked Luke, he said, "Who's with you?" And he said, "Ain't nobody with me, Paul." He said, "Some of them's forsaken me." And they went back to Thessalonica. They went back down yonder. They went into the world. And a lot of things happened. Sure to God, Paul felt the absence and the loneliness and all that. And he persecuted the church, went home, slept like a baby. But in the greatest part of his life, he wept all night for the church. Why is that? Because he knowed after his absence, the wars would come in. It's the same message, the same story. After Jesus died and arose, the wars come in. And they stole his body and everything else. And after the absence of Paul, when he left, the wars come in. And there was a lot of absence of things take place. But them that know God, they had comfort in those days. Well, let's go to Corinthians chapter, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Start reading right here in verse 3. He said, talked about the ministry that he's placed us in. How that we put away the hidden things of darkness, living in sin. We commended ourselves to God. But he goes on right here in verse number 3. He said, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost." Thomas said, "Lord, we don't know where you're going. We don't even know the way." There's an absence of the word in the world today of people not knowing the way. People saying there's a lot of ways to God. You can different times. Honey, I don't care what they say. There's one way to God, and that's through and by His Son. And Paul said, "If our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that's lost." It's hid to them that don't know the way. In verse number 4, he said, "In whom the God of this world had blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." Honey, the God of this world, Jesus said, "Henceforth, I'm not going to talk to you much because the prince of this world, he ain't got nothing in me." And he said, "I'll tell you, when you get on down the line and on down the road in the last days, in the peerless days, in the last days," he said, I'm not going to appear to you too many times. You can believe it or not. Every time you come to church, ain't like it was a while ago. Every time you come to church, you don't feel His presence as you did maybe at times before. Why is that? Because the God of this world is blinding people's minds. They're worried about what ain't had He'll say. They're worried about this and they're worried about that. Paul said, "Henceforth, let no man hinder me." He said, "If our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that's lost." He said, "Because the God of this world has blinded their minds." Buford read it to us in Hebrews. He said, "He came to destroy the works of death and the works of darkness and the one that had the key to death." And he named him. And he said, "He is the devil, blinding their minds." No wonder there's an absence of God in this world. No wonder there's an absence when you feel like you're in a room full of people and you feel like maybe you're like Elijah. And I don't want to get like that, Lord. There ain't nobody. God's got them out there. He's got a lot of them out there that's serving Him. He's absent in a lot of places. Ichabod above the doors and don't even know it. You know what that means? God has departed. He said, verse number 5, look here. He said, "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake." I just come to serve you a meal this morning. Absence. Loneliness. the prince of this world. Look at the celebration that's going on in the name of liberty, in the name of freedom. Where's God in this midst? Don't you say nothing about this type of religion. Don't you say nothing about it. Don't you say nothing about it. Because there's only one God and everybody's going to Him. Not so, my beloved. Thomas, I am the way. I am the truth. In the last days, perilous times will come, dangerous times. Men will be lovers of themselves more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but no power, denying the Son of God. I'm telling you this morning, guys, there is an absence in this country of God, and the reason why is the God of this world blinding people. Thomas, don't be afraid. I'm going away. Let me say this right here, and I'm going to go on. Some of you will get it, some of you won't. I go home, go to bed, get up, go to work, come home, mow the yard, fix the fence, spray the flies off the cash. But you're never off the mind. Paul went about thought he was doing right. Went home, slept like a baby. But when God got a hold of him, he went home and cried all night in church. Where is His presence in our life? Where is His presence in what we're doing? Verse 6, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. What do you mean in the face of Jesus Christ? I thought His presence wasn't here. No. I see it in you. You see it in me. You've heard me say this a lot. Preached a lot over the years. I've seen a lot of faces. I've looked at them. And the lights is on, but there ain't nobody home. You study about that thing. In the face of Jesus Christ, the Word of God. The Word of God in our lives, the effect, the absence of it or the presence of it. Sometimes I feel like I'm in a crowded room and everybody looking at me. You ever been there? What are they looking for? Who are they looking for? I know there's some out there want to see me like Moses smite the rock, get mad. Well, a lot of them waiting on. If I can stay with God, keep this enemy under subjection. I'll go. Let's finish this, guys. 6 again, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. See, I could run the fuse and shout the house down. Boy, and just get all worked up. But what did it affect? What did it do? What did it accomplish? We might enjoy it for just a little while. But you'll see if it's the excellency of the power of God in the absence of Him. You'll see where it's coming from. And if you've got any God about you, you'll see where it's headed. Verse number 8, he said, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Thomas, we don't know the way. Jesus said, hang on. I'm going to show you the way. Verse 10, I was burned about in the body, the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus may be made manifest in our body. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But what about in His absence? What are we showing? What's being revealed? We don't know which way to go. We don't know which way. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth and I am the life. Let me tell you something. You were teaching this morning, this, that, and there, use your own judgment. God ain't never anointed a lie. People just don't know the difference. We live. Verse 11. For we which live are always delivered unto death. For Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. What is the flesh? It's the enemy. Keep it under subjection. So verse 12, so then death worketh in us, but life in you. Look how determined they were to get rid of Jesus. Look how determined they were to get rid of Paul. If you live right, you're going to suffer persecution. But Jesus said, I've got this. I've been there. Verse 12, so then death worketh in us, life in you. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. So in His absence, and when He's not here, physically, that we can look Him in the face, whose face are they looking at? In His absence. What do you study about that? In the loneliness of this world, in the absence of the Son of God and the things of God and the commandments and the prayer and all that, the absence of God, no wonder people don't know the way. And if our gospel be hid, they'll never find the way. That ought to be what keeps us going. Keeps us stirring. Thomas, honey, don't let your heart be troubled. Don't let it be afraid. Because, honey, I am the way. And I am the truth. And I am the life. What Paul say one time? I know the man 14 years ago. Whether in the body or now the body, God knoweth. But I know one thing. Right here is what he's saying. He may not be here today, but I feel his presence. I may not be here tomorrow. He will be. You may not be here tomorrow in the body. He will be.
Lord, I want to die on the battlefield. Winning people to you. Telling them that you are the way. Tell them you loved them enough to die for them. And always tell them this. He went away, but he's a coming again. That where he is, there we may be also. Now, you know the way. Let's stand to our feet. Chris, come up here, will you, honey, and play something a little bit? Well, I don't get to do that much. Sometimes you feel trouble. Sometimes you feel the absence of pain. Feel the absence of people. I lost my dad. We buried him on July the 4th. I go in the house. I look over at his chair. We wouldn't go to him. I don't know if they was afraid to go. For a long time. One day I got enough courage. I went over and sat down in my old dad's chair. They say he went away. By the grace of God, I get to see him. Daddy ain't up on 93 Glen Drive no more. He's taking a nap. Just little things you look back on. Put a smile on your face. Walk in the house and I hear my mom say, "Hired you getting that chewing butter everywhere." He just look at you and grin. Thomas said, "Jesus, we don't know where you're going." I don't always know where he's going. But I know he'll lead me the right way. He'll lead me down to the still waters. He'll lead me down to the green pasture. If I need him to, he'll make a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And every now and then, he'll anoint my head with oil. And my cup will run over. Hopefully, it'll never get up. In his absence. Don't you get like Samson did one day. He got up to go out to fight the Philistines. Spirit of God left him. Didn't even know it. In his absence. Thank you, Trish. Well, praise the Lord. good day. May the Lord bless you.